5:04 on a Monday afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia. 1240 in Roanoke, 93.3 in 1320 in Lynchburg, 730 Southside, and 1350 in beautiful Bedford, Virginia. Folks, welcome to the show. We've got a dandy coming your way here today on the Sports Line. My name is Rich Roth. He's Ed Lane. Covering the Commonwealth coming up, a little bit of an extended version, is we're trying to catch up with Jimmy Massey, winner of the Fox Puss this weekend over at Boonesboro Country Club.
Another young gun, UVA freshman, by the way, first year, completing his first year there, and a former EC Glass Hilltopper, so winning it on his home course, which is a pretty neat story.
Yeah, it's a very cool story. And Connor Burgess, the other freshman from EC Glass, who's at Tech, I think won it a couple of years ago.
He did, so. Yeah, he won it a couple of years ago, so we're seeing, I don't know if you call it changing of the guard, but and we can ask more of Chris Lang, who will be back with us next week on Covering the Commonwealth from the VSGA, but a lot of these younger golfers are really starting to assert themselves. I guess if you're good enough to be playing D1 golf and what's now required and expected at that level, it shouldn't come as a surprise that those guys are starting to really rise to the top.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Real quickly, before we dive in any deeper, I want to thank our sponsors for being part of the show. Randolph College. Two programs to tell you about, the LEAP program.
And the MAT program.
The Master of Arts in Teaching, all at randolphcollege.edu. The good folks at Gano Sausage, made locally in Bedford County.
The country boy on the label means quality on the table. I literally took the words right out of your mouth.
You literally did. You reached in and you grabbed them. And you took them right out of my mouth. WB and Allen, the good old Bass Boys.
They made their way to your house yet?
Not yet.
What, Zeon Zoysia? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, and it's a summer grass, and, you know, so it's summer's coming. So I just got to, you know, it'll be there soon. I'm very, very excited about it. But if you want more information on that or their bluegrass fescue mix, which is more traditional, green all year round, lush, beautiful. Go to basssidefarm.com for the good old Bass Boys. Arthur's Jewelry, Centertown, Bedford. I love the fact that I can just spin the ring and people think of Arthur's Jewelry and our guy Jim Messier down there.
It's your guy more in particular because he's always coming to your rescue.
And probably again sometime in the very, very near future. My wife has the wish list, and we're good to go.
You stopping by there for Mother's Day? Or do you not celebrate that in the Roth household?
How can you not celebrate Mother's Day?
I mean, I think everyone has to celebrate Mother's Day.
Yeah, or else you get in big trouble. That's coming up this Sunday. You got big plans?
I'll be coming back from Memphis early on Mother's Day so that I can spend time with the family then. So
oh, that's sweet.
I got the early flight out of Memphis on Sunday morning. I'll be sleeping on that, the one to Charlotte and the Charlotte to Lynchburg, catching back up because I'm going down to an alumni association with the college that I went to down there, Rhodes College, and then that wraps up with their graduation on Saturday, and it's cheaper to fly back on Sunday, and I've got a place to stay and hang out with some friends, so we'll do a little catching up and then hop on the bird early Sunday, and voila, I get back here.
To celebrate Mother's Day.
Of course.
It's awesome.
A family man, Rich.
Awesome. Arthur's Jewelry. Great place to go for Mother's Day. Are you kidding me?
And Father's Day's not far on the horizon, and you can take your dad to Roanoke Valley Harley-Davidson on Peters Creek Road in Roanoke to find that perfect bike, including the new 750 and 500 Streeter Sportsters with the cool trade-in program. Stop by and ask them for details.
Couple closeout games tonight in the NBA, potentially.
Do you think they both happen, or one, or none?
I think one happens.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
Toronto just doesn't have it. I mean, it's pretty well established.
Dude, I'll tell you what. It's extremely embarrassing for both of these franchises, isn't it?
What, Cleveland and Toronto?
No.
Philadelphia and Toronto?
Yeah.
I got to wait a moment.
Toronto's the one seed.
Toronto's the one seed, and yet it is totally irrelevant whatever they do in the regular season. I mean, it really is. You can build this great roster that gets you to the playoffs, but if you don't have the requisite talent, it doesn't matter. And they don't have the requisite talent. Their money's wrapped up in DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry. Sorry, not good enough to win you a postseason game. I mean, just
and then the fact,
look at that.
The simple fact that they just crawl up into the fetal position every time they see LeBron in Cleveland. Or just LeBron, period. Because that's really what you got, right?
It is.
It's LeBron. The LeBron Cavaliers. But there's no excuse for the number one seed being down 3-0.
I mean, that's the worst part, is the fact they're down 3-0. They haven't found a way to scratch out a win just yet.
Well, and for Philly, too. I mean, Philly was the hot pick, and I think that was, well, obviously now, a bit premature considering how young they were. And everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon because of that great winning streak they went on at the end of the regular season and the fact that they were playing great ball. But, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, experience matters. And I think a lot of people, I don't want to say blacked out the fact that they didn't have the experience, but they may have, you know, chosen to look the other way.
I think they conveniently overlooked it because they were a hot team with a bunch of young stars, and
right,
that's great,
so,
but you still have to have experience to win in the postseason, and
yes.
Boston's got it, and yes, Al Horford is really the one guy that has provided even more of that, but this young core has at least been there before. I mean, this Philadelphia core, this is their first time ever getting to the postseason, and I don't think it's a failure, but I think the expectations got so out of whack that now it's viewed as a disappointment because people expected, and Philly fans and Philly expected way more than probably was realistically going to happen.
Right.
I think they win tonight, but I don't think they're winning the series.
No, I don't think they're winning the series either. And as far as everything else and people putting the cart a little bit ahead of the horse, maybe a lot ahead of the horse. You know, you look around at the landscape and it's easy to fall into the trap, and we talk about this all the time, that sometimes you lose sight of the big picture. Sometimes you lose sight of the forest through the trees. You're sitting there like, wow, they finished the regular season great. Boston's all banged up. They now have no Kyrie. You look at, you know, LeBron barely able to get out of the first round against the Indiana Pacers. And you sit there and go, man, the Eastern Conference is theirs for the taking. And then you get into the next series and your eyes get opened as to the reality
of just how much work they still have left.
Yeah. It takes time.
It does. Boston's not even a finished product, and they've got even more talent than Philadelphia has, collective talent. And you could argue that Embiid and Simmons may have more upside, but the whole of Boston's roster and the sum of their parts is clearly superior to the sum of Philadelphia's parts.
And I'll tell you what, Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach.
Dude, that guy knows how to get it done when it matters. The two rallying when they were down a little bit in Game 3 and he rallied and he had that finish to that game, and then obviously when they're down 20 in Game 2, guy knows how to get the most out of those guys. And that's a heck of a testament to what he did. And, you know, I'll put it this way.
Even looking back to what he did at Butler.
Well, I was going to say, their runs to the championship don't look that far-fetched now because of what he's done in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it's a totally different game. NBA, so much of coaching is ego management.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got that with Kyrie, obviously, with Cleveland. But he's also made in-game adjustments as an X's and O's adjustments, yep, as well. And that goes back to the college game and what you're talking about, I'm sure.
I think he is such a fun guy to root for as a coach, too. Because he is such the non-prototypical NBA coach, isn't he?
What, we're basically glorified cheerleaders? Come on, guys, you got this. I mean, this guy actually is putting some strategy into it.
Well, and he's so young. Although, I guess that's kind of changing now quite a bit, coming up from the college ranks. Remember, so often, guys coming up from college had no success at all at the NBA. Now, Quinn Snyder as well.
Yep.
Having some success out there with Utah.
And they're not going to get past Houston. And I think we're starting to see, you know, Utah has regressed to the mean, and Houston has risen to the mean, and that's where the gap is now between those two, as Houston's up 3-1. But, I mean, we are seeing some of that as well. Part of it's understanding the difference. I think you have to understand the difference in how they're coached and how the game operates. But if you can still put some strategy in, adjustments, coaching styles, all of that are things that both of those guys have done. Because Snyder, you referenced it. I mean, we all remember the jokes about his problems, and those were fairly well known. I mean, yeah, the substance abuse problems that mm-hmm. he had at Missouri.
Yep.
And, you know, he certainly went back to his time at Duke. Heck, you could argue he's the one Duke assistant coach who's actually made it somewhere.
And lo and behold, it's in the NBA.
I was gonna say, he's not even in college.
Duke in the news a little bit, Ed.
Oh, yeah. My guy, Wendell Carter.
Yes.
My guy, Mr. Oh, I'm so distraught. I'm going to cry after losing in the Elite Eight. It meant so much, this game. And then a week later, he goes to the NBA draft. And now his mom is telling all.
Wendell, don't get too upset. You've got 3 more years at Duke. You
yeah,
guys
exactly.
can get there next year. No, I'm gone.
It means so much that I'm leaving.
Yeah, Wendell Carter's mom comparing the NCAA to slavery. Yes. And there it is. Because apparently the value of a Duke education is worth nothing to her. kid's not going to graduate. So maybe it does have no meaning. But I'll tell you what, I know, and you know, Ed, a lot of really, really, really bright kids who would love nothing more than to go to school at Duke and would be willing to pay, what is it, $40,000, $50,000 a year
for
to go
there.
For
a free education there.
Well, it's not free. They'd be willing to pay for it.
They'd be willing to pay, but they'd be willing to take this guy's free education.
Well, but I mean, they'd be willing to pay $40,000 or $50,000 a year to get that education that he got for free. And these people they'd bend over backwards. I mean, Duke is such a great school. And it pains me to say that, but it is.
Oh, it's a heck of an academic school. We all know that.
I mean, kids who have the opportunity to go there and to sit there and say that education is worthless. Here's the quote. When you remove all the bling and the bells and the sneakers and all that. I mean, that's what she thinks the value of his scholarship was. Bling and bells and sneakers.
How'd he get all that? Under the table?
She continues. You've paid for a child to come to your school to do what you wanted them to do for you for free. And you made a lot of money when he did that. And you've got all these rules in place that he cannot share in any of that. The only other time when labor does not get paid, but yet someone else profits, and the labor is black and the profit is white, is in slavery. Well, news for you, Mrs. Carter, slavery doesn't have to be about black and white.
Here's the thing. There are
And the other thing is, Ed, to sit there and say that the value of a Duke education is worthless, which isn't, in fact, what she's saying, right?
Well, that's what she's saying, Rich. But here's the other thing that irritates the snot out of me. Well, there are two things that irritate the snot out of me when it comes to this. First of all, there are serious issues of racial relation problems in this country. Love it or hate it, they exist in one way, shape, or form. And we don't have time to get into all the specifics of it, but they exist. And when you use these comparisons and bring something like this up, as trivial as it is, knowing your son's about to get paid, that just totally takes away the severity that should be paid to those issues. So that's ridiculous. And here's the other absurd part. If it mattered that much and it was all about money, take your ass, pardon my language, but take it over to Europe where they'll pay you 6 figures a year. And oh, I have to live in Europe. I don't get to be around here. I don't get all the exposure and the bling. If it's about the money and the principle of the matter, which this lady sure seems to make you want to believe it is for her, go over there and take the money for a year or however long it is.
Yeah, you can do that.
Because you can have that option.
You can go to Europe and play ball and get paid and not go to college.
Correct.
So they chose to go to Duke.
This was not forced upon them. Slavery, as we know, was not a choice. Sorry, newsflash. Some people may think it was, but it wasn't. This is a choice. And you have alternatives. Not just alternatives, Rich, but you have alternatives where you can get paid. You could sit out a year, go to the G League. You could sit out a year and train. You can, like we just said, go get paid to play in Europe for a year. Six figures. Brandon Jennings, former Oak Hill Academy player from not far away from where we are in Virginia, went over there. He bypassed college, go over to Europe.
The ball boys. Play
basketball. Yep. He got paid.
The ball boys, right? Your guys.
Yes. My guys. My family. The first family of basketball.
Triple
or at least
B.
They think that's
Big
what it is.
Big baller brand heading to Europe.
Yeah, they got the other BBB.
They did that. I mean, this is...
This lady's just... I mean, she sounds clueless.
And there's no doubt. There's no doubt that the system is imperfect. Okay? We all know that. But slavery? Really?
Have you seen the facilities that Duke players have access to? The nutrition programs? Why is it that all these guys, Rich, are reclassifying an extra year? Of course, one of the reasons they reclassify a year early is so they can get to the NBA a year sooner. Okay, fine. I get it. It's part of the game. You know the other reason why a lot of these guys that are top 50 recruits reclassify early? So that they can have access to better training.
Explain to folks what that means, reclassify.
Reclassify. All right, Duke had a kid. I can't remember the name off the top of his head. But they have a new addition within the last week to their basketball recruiting class. He was a guy that was scheduled to be part of the 2019 signing class. Come in and play 2019-2020 as his first year. But he reclassified to go to Duke and be part of the upcoming season because it has access to better facilities, better training, and it gives him the opportunity to get to the NBA a year early. Marvin Bagley did the same thing.
He so was basically, going to be a basically, freshman. Yeah, these guys had another year of eligibility in high school.
Correct.
And they went to college early.
Correct. They reclassified because, hey, kudos to them. They got their work done, and they were able to academically qualify with SATs and high school credits out of the way. And I've known plenty of high school programs that have operated that way. When Carlisle School was doing this, I was down in Martinsville at the time. That was one of the things they were going to do. They were going to bring guys in. They were going to make sure they took rigorous course loads and got their credits in so that if they wanted to reclassify early, they could do it. Nothing illegal. Totally how the system is played. But you do it so that you can gain something out of it. On your own accord, not against your will, on your own accord. Sorry, Miss Carter. Maybe you should talk to Miss Bagley or whatever Marvin's mom's name is and figure out how this really works.
By the way, the Commission on College Basketball met and apparently addressed important issues related to the NBA draft, enforcement, and grassroots basketball.
Do you know anybody?
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, first of all, how the hell are you going to enforce grassroots basketball? I mean, really? There's no way that's happening. I'm sure there are plenty of coaches at grassroots levels that could go to colleges, but the problem is it'd be a lot more sketchy. They'd have a lot more difficulty explaining how they all of a sudden get all this money. Because you can put it on your tax returns, and the IRS doesn't care, but the NCAA does. So that's one element. Good luck with that. The other one is, have you met anybody that's a college basketball fan? That's just like us. Like, I love college basketball more than the NBA. I gather you do as well.
I do.
Most people in our listening audience, I tend to believe, are college basketball fans more than NBA fans. I have met hardly any of them that believe that we should still have the one-and-done rule. I bet more of them that are now open to guys just leaving straight from high school if they don't want to go to college.
Well, I think there's a lot of support for the baseball rule where either you leave in high school and you go right to the NBA, or if you do go to college, you commit to going to college for 3 years. And therefore, it's a more legitimate, I don't even want to say college education, but college experience. I'll say that. And I think that makes an awful lot of sense. But something clearly needs to be done, and in all honesty, the NBA plays a very big role in what they're willing to do.
Absolutely.
Because they're the ones who have to say, you know, if you go to college, we're not going to take you, and until they do that. So some work needs to be done. And there's no question that the NCAA is a very imperfect organization, and their systems are extremely flawed. But slavery, please, please, Mrs. Carter, get a grip on reality. We got to take a break. Justify wins the Kentucky Derby.
Some of the best decisions you make are the ones you don't make. I did not put that money down on combatant. He wasn't even around.
Triple crown possibility? Who knows? We'll talk with Kenny Rice in a couple weeks before the Preakness. But congrats to Justify. Up next, covering the Commonwealth, plus maybe a little expanded edition with, as we hope to catch up with Jimmy Massey, former EC Glass Hilltopper, now at UVA, Fox Puss Champion 2018. All that and more. Stay tuned. You got the Sports Line.